I would like you to do something today. Right now, take out your cell phone. And I would like you to set it to alarm for 8 minutes. 8 minutes. Do that for me right now. So that when 8 minutes comes, it alarms. Father in heaven, we come to you today asking you to help us in this hour. We can do nothing outside of you. And so we ask that you will grace us with what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture reading that was read by Elder King so well was indeed appropriate for the message you see on the screen. Uncle and nephew, same genes, but different gentlemen. That's the sermon I had prepared and was ready to preach, but I must tell you that I was doing some wrestling, and I was up late last night, and I could not preach this message today. And so that's a sermon you will hear in my next preaching slot. Today, I would like to speak, and my clicker is, oh yes, I got to put it on. My clicker is now working. And so today, I could not just deliver a message being oblivious to the present climate, condition, circumstance, the rawness, the emotional disposition we feel. As I recount on May 25th, 2020, some of the last words spoken by George Floyd. Mama, mama, I'm through. That's what he said. Interpreted, mama, mama, I'm done. I'm dying. It's interesting that this young man could have uttered these words under the circumstance. And so my message today is entitled, Mama. And our text comes to us from Isaiah 66 and verse 13. I will tell you that I need to be comforted. I'm living almost in a trance. Can't believe what I am seeing and experiencing. I know some would want us to focus on the riots that erupted. But if I may quote Dr. King, MLK, he said, a riot is the language of the unheard. People are speaking, but they're not being heard. Today I need comfort. And so I will deviate from my usual 3 points and just spend this time looking at the Word of God to see how He can grant us comfort. Isaiah 66, 13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In case you're living someplace on the rock and you may not understand what's happening, whether it's a barbecue and Becky is calling the police on a black family doing a cookout, or whether it's Amy Cooper in Central Park calling the police, telling them that a black man is threatening her simply because he asked her to put her dog on a leash. What audacity for this bird watcher, this black guy, who's out enjoying the creation of birds and not wanting them to be frightened by a dog running around loose. Whether it's Cookout Betty or Central Park Amy, some white Americans have been conditioned to believe that they have rights that do not belong to us. When calling the police, all they have to use is the word black so they can get a quick reaction. You can be president of the Harvard Law Review, and you may even be Barack Hussein Obama, the president of the United States. That does not stop a Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, from wagging her finger in your face. This is the America in which we live. First, it was Eric Garner, 5 years ago, who said he couldn't breathe while being choked to death. We saw it right before our very eyes, and we were told, wait for the judicial process to take its course. 5 years later, the officer was terminated. That's his punishment for choking a man to death, a man who sold 2 loose cigarettes. When they see us, they don't see us as having the same value. You have to devalue a person to put your knee on that person's neck for 8 minutes. When your phone goes off, that's how long Derek Chauvin had his knee on George Floyd's neck. I want us to appreciate what God has for us today. I want to use the words credited to a man, Niemöller. He said, first they came for the communist, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. These words were credited to the son of a preacher who was a war veteran, left the army. He had supported Hitler before, but when he saw where Hitler was going, he decided he wanted no part of it. Spent a lot of his life in a concentration camp and was freed when the war was over. There is something here for us today. And I echo the words of Bob Marley, who said, "How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look?" And I know some theologian would say, well, George Floyd was not a prophet. Bob Marley was simply saying in his redemption song, we just can't stand by and see people do stuff. I wonder what may have happened if the young man that was engaging the police officer, telling him, you're going to kill him. What if he and others had decided to rush the police officers? Maybe they may have been shot to death. Maybe they would have been killed, but they would have died not doing nothing. They would have died doing something. Maybe the knee would have gotten off George's neck. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Every child of God has value. Psalm 86:15 says, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That love of God is for the George Floyds of our world. Someone rightly said, I don't care what he was doing. He was a child of God. We need to get a sense of when people are being oppressed. We need to stand not with the oppressors. We need to stand with the oppressed. That is what Jesus would have done. The Jesus I know, being there in Minneapolis, standing by, would simply not have just walked on by. He would have been like the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite asked this question, what would happen to me if I intervened? The Good Samaritan asked, what would happen to the man if I don't intervene? But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Yes, George Floyd, the blood of Christ was to him also. One writer said, please, man, Floyd begs as he's ground into the pavement. His pleas mix with the ambient noises around him. They are the disjointed sounds from the clash of belief systems and competing visions of sovereignty, of ownership, of authority over black bodies compressed into the narrow frame of Floyd's last moments. I want to share some quotes from Dr. King with us today, and hopefully we can relate to them. I cringe when I read his words. This man who gave his life, he did not meet 40 years old. He died at the age of 39. Knew what was up, but had decided before, he simply could not stand by and watch his fellow human beings being treated that way. And he said the hottest place in hell is reserved for those who remain neutral in times of great moral conflict. What is our stand today? Nothing in all the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. There are people today who are willingly ignorant. They will tell you that there is no such thing as the coronavirus. They tell you it's a hoax. Don't believe. They tell you it's fake news. And that's sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. There were people today who would tell you there is no such thing as racism in America, is that somehow black people want to be treated specially and different. Well, I just want to say something to you. I took the time to look it up. Just one city here in Michigan, a place called Taylor. The population, African Americans, about 17%, no more than 18%, 2020 figures. And I want you to do yourself a favor. Go down to the traffic courts on any given day and see the percentage of African Americans in the courtroom. And ask yourself if they've been there because simply they're the worst drivers in Taylor or they're being profiled. It's not a myth. It actually happens. Dr. King went on to say, if a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he isn't what? Fit to live. We cannot be contented with our lives when stuff is happening all around us. I'm just kind of curious. I wonder if there were any people of my faith demonstrating in Minneapolis or in Los Angeles or in any other city for that matter, because we have been conditioned not to be involved. Maybe that's the problem. If a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live. I think I'll need some help with my clicker today. I don't know if the battery is down, but it's not moving. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. This is Dr. King saying, we can't say that we're good over here while others are being mistreated over there. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? What are you doing for others? That's the question to me today. What am I doing for others? Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? As Christians, we have to really appreciate the fact that something is wrong in our world. When we have our president talking to law enforcement and folk are trying to twist the words and saying he didn't mean this or he didn't mean that, and saying that when you have a suspect, you can rough him up. Well, I believe that a suspect is not a synonym for being guilty. A suspect is someone who has been suspected of doing something wrong. That person in the law is considered innocent until proven guilty. You can't rough him up. There is a climate and a culture that says black lives don't matter. Dr. King went on to say, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. It's easy to stand when you are in a place of comfort and convenience. But what if it's a time when you're being challenged and there is uprising in the streets? He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. Gotta take a stand. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Stop and think about these words for a moment. Our lives begin to end the day we refuse to be involved with things that matter. The ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people. So Dr. King, and I have no problem in quoting him this morning, so don't text me and saying, well, you don't want to hear Dr. King. Anything that is just and good should be proclaimed from the desk. This is what Jesus came to earth for, to set the captive free. There comes a time when silence is betrayal. There comes a time when silence is betrayal. Well, I said I needed to be comforted today. So I want to know if God's word has something to say to me today. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Isaiah is reminding Israel that was under severe punishment that God is still standing by you. He's still very there. Isaiah 49:16. Comfort from God's word. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I don't know about you, but I am comforted by knowing that God has taken my name and placed it in the palm of his hand. When Jesus died on the cross and the nails went in, Errol went in there with it. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And how can we forget Psalm 23:4? Repeat it with me, your home, but you can recite it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, I want to be comforted today. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then, here we go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I want to be comforted today. Maybe I didn't help myself by watching the video. I only watched it once, but that's all it took. I had some sleepless, disturbing nights. Did your phone go off? 8 minutes. 8 minutes on George Floyd's neck, frothing at the mouth, crying out in pain. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's comforting to me. I love the Lord because he had heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. God's word is telling us today, in spite of what's happening around us, we can take comfort that when we call upon God, he hears us. He hears us. And here is Isaiah speaking to us. Every valley shall be exalted. Yes, Minnesota. And every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This is God's word to us today. In 1955, that is 65 years ago, 14-year-old Emmett Till was dragged at gunpoint from his uncle's house at pre-dawn, taken to a barn, tortured mercilessly, murdered, and thrown into the Tallahatchie River. Several days later, his gruesome body, disfigured and mutilated, was found with a 70-pound cotton gin fan wrapped around his neck. His crime, allegedly whistling at Carolyn Bryant, a 21-year-old female white proprietor of a small grocery store. Emmett Till, 14 years of age, in 1955, being dragged out from his uncle's house, left Chicago just to go visit his mother's brother. I cannot imagine what this child went through, but I can imagine that he was crying, "Mama, Mama!" That's what men and women do. George Floyd's mother died 3 years ago, but here he was with a knee on his neck, and he was calling for his mother. 65 years later, after Emmett Till, we still have young black men crying for their mothers, "Mama." because of what they're experiencing. Lives being snuffed out. There were two men that were tried for Emmett Till's murder. The husband of Miss Bryant, Carolyn, Roy Bryant, and his half-brother, J.W. Milan. They were tried and they were found not guilty by an all-white male jury. I got a news flash for white America and even for some of our black listeners. Some folk were very upset when they heard black folk cheering in the streets when the verdict came back not guilty for O.J. Simpson. Go read about it. These folk were not cheering in support of O.J. Some of them didn't like him because he did not associate with them. They didn't like the fact that he divorced his black wife with a college education and married a what he called a white bombshell high school dropout. He was not a fan favorite of the black community, but you know why they were rejoicing? They were rejoicing because for them, finally, they can see how a black man can go free. Very well when he could have been guilty of the crime of murder. Blacks have been saying, this is what we've been feeling year after year. Every time a white person kills a black person and goes free, in this society, we pain. So their celebration was not for OJ. Their celebration was saying, finally, you can feel what we feel. There's an old saying, two wrongs don't make a right. So we can never in good conscience support anything that says the guilty should go free. So don't misquote me today. I'm just explaining the situation as it was. In psychology, there is a thing called social facilitation. And there is something called social facilitation inhibition effect. What it means is that when a person is engaged in a behavior and he or she knows that they're being observed, they're being watched, cognition and emotion are altered. In other words, the fact that you are on camera changes the way you think and what you do. Well, that's true for most people. So you ask yourself, if these police officers can behave that way, knowing that they're being videotaped, what does it say? It simply reinforces the view that they don't think much will happen to them because they're doing it to a black man. A black man who cries, mama. Mama, mama, I want us today to appreciate that in spite of the pain, we can call upon God, who said, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will hear, and I will answer, and I will deliver. George Floyd was calling on his mother. He knew she was dead, but he saw a moment of tranquility amidst the pain to remember the goodness of this lady. Well, we have a mother who is mother and father up in heaven. So whatever your pain, I say, you say, God, mama, father, whatever you call him, call upon Jesus. If not, this pain in America right now will consume you. I shudder to think what would have happened to me had I been there in Minneapolis, standing watching. My gut tells me I would have interfered. That's because of the kind of person I am. I've always said, if I were born in this country in the 60s, I would have been dead. But I thank God for His grace. So today, for white friends, our white worshipers, our members, we thank you that you put Christ first and you can see pain for what it is. Embrace your brother and sister. Let them know how you feel about what's happening. And for black brothers and sisters, let us not take this life for granted, because it can be snuffed out at any moment by a police officer, whether it's in Washington, punching a woman in her face, in her head, whatever it is. Let us remember, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Mr. Floyd spent his last 8 minutes with four officers. And I know some are saying, well, why should you charge the other three? I just know the laws in this country. If I went with someone and I was the driver and that person went into a store and somebody got killed, I would be charged with the same crime as an accomplice. These three other officers at some point were on this man's lifeless body. They were aiding and abetting in his murder. Let us turn to God today for comfort. So even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, let us fear no evil, because God is with us. I pray today that none of our friends will have to hear their son or their daughter crying, "Mama, Mama." May God sustain us during this very difficult period in this country. Father in heaven, teach us to cry to you. Teach us to acknowledge, even amongst us, what's happening, the divisions. We have, even in our church, folk urging to vote for people who oppress us. Help us to be wise and not fall for the thing about wealth and money. Let us focus on what Jesus was concerned about. Jesus was never concerned about how well you're doing. He was concerned about how just you are. May we follow in the footprints of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that when we cry, "Mama," you will hear us. For even when mother and father will forsake us, you will not. We pray for Floyd's family. We pray for all the families that grieve and mourn today who've gone through this tragedy. Give us the healing we need. But we know, Father, we can't go forward by being in denial. We have to face this front on. May we do some soul searching in ourselves, even as we cry, "Father, Abba." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.